We call your attention a few moments to the Word of God in Psalm 118, verse 1. That we read the Word of God as follows. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. The reason, beloved, for all true thanksgiving is never in things, but always in God. It may seem on a day like this that is not true. And not only the church, but the whole world, that is the world that proclaims thanksgiving, joins in gladness because of temporal things, because of crops, rain and sunshine, fertility of the soil, industry and prosperity, and that is really the reason why this day is set apart, and why also the church joins in gladness and joy and thanksgiving. And that is not true. It's true that our churches, even in the church order, provides for some special days. Days of prayer, days of thanksgiving, and other days. But never forget that the reason, even on those special days that point to things in nature, so-called, that point to crops and rain and sunshine and the labor of the husbandman, as well as labor and industry, that the reason also on that special day is not in those things. In fact, it is not in anything. The reason is always in God. Still more, the reason for true thanksgiving is not, as I get the impression last Sunday afternoon from the radio, the reason for true thanksgiving is not in the fact that God is our Creator, is not in creation, and is not in providence. We could not give thanks unto God as Creator. We could not, and we would not. We could not give thanks unto God as the provider in his providence, because he sustains all things and governs all things. Also, that would be impossible, because we could not even reach him. But the true reason for Thanksgiving, and the deepest reason for all Thanksgiving, is in God as He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we can give thanks. Then we know Him as the object of our thanksgiving. And then by His grace, we are the subjects that can praise His name. Not in things, not in anything, not in God as the Creator, not in God as it rules all things, but in the God of our salvation, in Jesus Christ our Lord, is the reason for our thanksgiving. That is the meaning of Scripture everywhere, and that is the meaning of the words of my text. Give thanks unto God. Why? Because He's good. But that's not all. Because His mercy endureth forever. And His mercy is only upon us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me call your attention a few moments to these words, beloved. Giving thanks to God. Acknowledging His goodness. Rejoicing in His mercy. Expressing joyful praise. God is good. That's the reason, according to the text. The first reason, according to the text, why we must give thanks. Why we do give thanks. Why we spontaneously give thanks as people of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Notice, that is not a cold, objective, dogmatical statement, but a glad exhortation. I think this psalm especially, as is so often the case in the psalms, this psalm especially was composed for the people of Israel as they met one another and rose and had responsive singing. This psalm could very easily have been read in responsive reading. That's really the idea of the psalm. So that one row of people met the other and said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. And another row met the first row and said, let Israel say, let His mercy and that His mercy endureth forever. And again another row, let Aaron, let the house of Aaron say that His mercy endureth forever, and so on. So it's not a mere dogmatical statement. It's the expression of the heart, the expression of the experience of the goodness of God. Oh, give thanks, for I experience that God is good. And I experience that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. That's my experience. God is good, beloved. That's the first part of this reason. He is good in the sense, of course, that He's perfect. That first of all. God is perfect. There's no evil in God. He's a light. And there's no darkness in him. He's the implication of all virtues, of all perfection. He's holy, righteous, true, faithful, gracious. He's full of perfection. As the Lord said, the Lord Jesus, to the young ruler, why callest thou me good? There is only one good, and that is God. That is, there's only one that is full of infinite perfection. And when we speak of God's goodness, we must always have the basis of that goodness in this perfection of God. There is no goodness of God in the sense of beneficence, in the sense that he is good to us, apart from that goodness in the sense of perfection. God is never good in separation from his holiness. That's impossible. He is good to us as the Holy One, never otherwise. God is always good to the creature as the righteous one. It cannot be good in any other way than as the righteous one. He cannot, in other words, he cannot be beneficent. He cannot bestow blessings in any other way than as the righteous one. That's true of all the virtues of God. And therefore, we must never forget that we may not separate God's goodness as beneficence in the sense that he is our benefactor from his goodness in the sense of his perfection. That's all one. Nevertheless, you understand that in the words of our text, goodness here emphasizes the idea of beneficence. The psalmist means to say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good to me or including all the people of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good to us. And again I say, do not forget that this is a matter of experience, not a dogmatical statement. The psalmist means to say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, that is Jehovah, Jehovah, our covenant, faithful, unchangeable Jehovah, our God of our salvation. Give thanks unto Jehovah because I have experienced his goodness. Because I have received the tokens of his goodness. Because I have tasted that he is my benefactor. And mind you, that implies that the people of God that speak here have experienced nothing but the goodness of the Lord over them. Nothing else. God is always good. He's never evil. He's always good to us. He never harms us. He never bestows any evil thing upon us. Never. That's what the board means. That's what the people of God here mean when they say, "Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good to us." They mean indeed, beloved, he is good. We have experienced that he is good to us in all our experiences, in all our ways, without exception. We know and experience by faith that Jehovah is always our benefactor. Then, beloved, you understand, if that is true, and that is true, we will never say on a day like this, "I have a good deal to be thankful for." That's not the language of faith. That's the language of the flesh. And then we do not put our experiences and the things we receive on two different piles and compare them and separate them and say, "This is good and that is evil." And according as that good pile is bigger or smaller, I have reasons to be thankful. And according as that other pile of evil things is bigger, I have reason, well, let's put it mildly, we don't dare to say what we like to say in this respect. We like to say, really, "I have reason to grumble." But let us say negatively, as far as that pile, the evil pile, the pile of evil things is bigger, I have no reason to be thankful. No, beloved. God is good. That's the reason for thanksgiving. God is good. You may have many treasures. You may have all the treasures you can possibly possess. Without God, you have nothing. Nothing. You may have very little, so that you can hardly eat and drink and be clothed and sheltered. Still more, you may pass through ways of suffering and affliction, as many of us do, and as all of us do sooner or later, for we are in the midst of death. Never forget that. Some of us have experienced that in the beginning of this week all of a sudden. Mr. Gears was in our church twice last Sunday. He's to heaven now. And the family is in sorrow and grief. What shall they do? What shall they do this day, you think? Shall they eat and drink and be merry? For tomorrow they die? That's the world. Or shall they say, oh, I have many things to be thankful for yet. I have a home and food and drink and clothing. Many things to be thankful for yet. I got children left yet, and so on. Let's count the blessings and forget the evil. Oh, beloved, that's not godly. That's carnal. Oh, no. They will say, and we shall say, no matter what happens, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It never changes. No matter how our way changes, God is always good to us, his people, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jehovah. The unchangeable benefactor of his people is the reason, the only adequate reason for thanksgiving. And that is really accentuated, beloved, in what follows. Mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Mercy is a virtue of God, like his goodness. It is that virtue of God according to which in himself he is the most blessed God, the most blessed, and wills to be most blessed. And as far as his relation to his people is concerned, that mercy as a virtue of God reveals itself in the fact that he wants his people to be most blessed as he is blessed. And when that virtue of God is revealed to a people in sin and iniquity and suffering and death and sorrow and trouble, as it is, then that mercy becomes abundant mercy revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's God's abundant mercy. The abundant revelation of his mercy is not merely that he wants his people to be blessed, but that he raises them from the deepest misery into the highest bliss. That's mercy. That's abundant mercy. The Bible speaks of abundant mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Oh, that mercy is abundant indeed, beloved. That mercy of the Lord is revealed as a very, very abundant mercy when he raises us, as it were, from deepest hell to highest heaven. That's what he does. When he raises us from all the misery and darkness of our sin and death unto the glory of everlasting life in the tabernacle of God. Abundant mercy. And, mind you, and that's the emphasis in the text. I want to call your attention to that emphasis. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Forever. His mercy is everlasting. You know what that means? That means, beloved, that God's mercy is eternal. You say that means the same thing as everlasting? Oh, no. It means, beloved, that the mercy of God over his people in Christ Jesus, let me put it concretely, it's as old as God is. Never had an end. Never had a beginning. Never had a beginning. It's as old as God is, that mercy. That means that God never was without his mercy. Never was without an object of his mercy. Never was without Christ. Never was without his people. Never was without his people in everlasting glory. Never was without his people whom he redeems and delivers from sin and death. That's all eternal in God. That's the truth. Give thanks unto God, unto Jehovah, the unchangeable rock of our salvation, who is and was and shall be merciful unto his people forever, because he had his people always with him in his everlasting counsel. That's God's mercy. It's eternal in distinction from
everlasting. Therefore, beloved,
everlasting
therefore,
means in
because
time. Eternal
that
means
mercy of God,
God is everlasting. Everlasting is not the same as eternal. Everlasting means it lasts forever. It lasts and is endureth forever. All right. But because God's mercy is eternal in God, therefore it is everlasting in time, and that means, beloved, not simply that it goes over time and at the end God will reveal his mercy again. No, it means that every moment of our life, every moment, we are the objects of that mercy of God. Everlasting, enduring forever. May seem different sometime to us. When we're in trouble, when we're in suffering, when we're in sorrow, when we're in want, may seem different, but it isn't. Oh, no. God is merciful over his people everlastingly. Every moment of time, he is merciful unto us. There's no difference. You have cancer, as some of us have. All right. Say, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. His mercy endureth forever. This cancer of mine is a manifestation of God's mercy. I know you won't say that so easily. I know. I remember a minister in Chicago. He preached on the text, God is good. And they said, it's very easy to say that God is good when everything is nice. But say it once when you have a toothache. When you have a toothache, say once, God is good. That's something else. And therefore, you must not think, beloved, that I'm boasting here. I know my own weakness as well as yours. And I know that when you're in pain and sorrow and trouble, as I said a moment ago, when you have cancer and must suffer, then probably you will not put it this way. You will not put it this way. You will hardly say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord because I've cancer. You may. It's all right. It's true. But you won't put it that way. You will probably put it this way. Oh, God, help me to be patient in affliction and to walk my way before thee to thy glory. That's also thanksgiving. That's thanksgiving, beloved. When you say that, you are giving thanks to God. When you utter that prayer, you give thanks to God in another form than when you eat your turkey this noon. Altogether different. But it's the same thing. The same thing. It's all the revelation of the mercy of God, no matter what happens. Because his mercy is everlasting. It never ceases to be upon you and over you. And you understand, of course. The world can never say this. God is merciful, as I said at the beginning. God is merciful because he's good. And he's good also in the sense of the truth that he is perfect. He's perfect. He's righteous and holy. And therefore, as the righteous and holy God, only he can be merciful, not otherwise. And therefore, again, he cannot be merciful except in the Lord Jesus Christ. Except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the objective revelation of the mercy of God, who forgiveth all our iniquities, cleanseth us from all our diseases, heals all our diseases, cleanseth us from all our sins. Mercy. Abundant mercy. And therefore, when you say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You really say this, beloved. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for this is my only comfort in life and death, that it belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. All the same thing. All the same. That's the gospel. And the gospel is always the same. No question about it. Also on Thanksgiving Day. The original word for giving thanks is really very beautiful. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah. To give thanks in the Hebrew really means, first of all, to throw out the hand, to point to things. Throw out the hand in order to point to things. And then, of course, it means to throw out the hand in order to point to benefits received, point to blessings received. And finally, it means to throw out the hand, to point through those benefits received to him that has benefited you, the giver. That's really giving thanks. Of course. We cannot give thanks if we think that we have received nothing. That's impossible. We cannot give thanks unless we are glad that we have received benefits. God. We cannot give thanks even if we think that we have received much more evil things than good things. That's impossible too. We cannot really even give thanks if we think that we have received both evil and good. No, no. Thanksgiving, pointing to blessings, pointing to the benefits received, and through the benefits received, pointing to God as the source, as the giver, means that we have received nothing but benefits. Nothing. Because God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's the Christian. then, beloved, you can really give thanks. Really. No matter what. No matter how. No matter in what way. No matter whether the fruit tree shall not blossom. And so on. No matter whether it's war or peace. Makes no difference. Then you look at God. And the reason for thanksgiving remains always the same. Because Jehovah is good and his mercy endureth forever. That is unchangeable. And then you say to God, oh my God, thou art good. And thy mercy endureth forever. I praise thy holy name. And then you will say to one another, as the people of Israel did in this psalm, meeting one another in praise and thanksgiving. Oh, let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron now say, let them that fear the Lord now say that he is good and that his mercy endureth forever. Then, beloved, that is the wonder of grace, then we shall be blessed before we give thanks, and we shall have an added blessing in the very fact that we may give thanks and rejoice in the Lord our God forever. Amen. Let's unite in thanksgiving. O God, thou art good. That thou art a light, and there is no darkness in thee. That thou art the implication of all infinite perfections, and there is no evil in thee. Thou art our benefactor, the God that giveth us all things, all good things, that never givest unto thy children any evil things, but always those things that must tend to their salvation. Whether in abundance, if possible, or in scarcity, whether in health, if possible, or in sickness, thou givest all good things because thou art good and thou canst not do anything else than benefit thy children whom thou lovest in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, we thank thee because thou art good. And, O Lord, we thank thee because thou art merciful. Oh, if it wasn't for that mercy, thou couldest not be good unto us. For we are in sin and iniquity. We have forfeited all thy goodness and do forfeit all thy blessings every day and every moment. We are unworthy and We are even incapable of receiving thy goodness and of receiving thy benefits. Oh, if it weren't for thy abundant mercy, we could not say even, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. But, O Lord, thou art merciful. Be very glad to say that to thee in these moments. Our hearts rejoice when we say that in faith. Thou art merciful. We're very glad that we may know the gospel, and that through the gospel we may know thy mercy and the revelation of thy mercy and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, O Lord, we are very glad to say to thee together here in this morning hour, praising thy holy name, O my God, thou art merciful. And we thank thee that thou art merciful. We point to all the spiritual blessings of salvation in Christ Jesus. To all the blessings we may have received already, and to all the blessings we hope to receive, to the forgiveness of sin, to the imputed righteousness of Christ, to the righteousness which thou dost instill into our hearts, for the life of regeneration, for the calling, for the faith, for all the benefits bestowed upon us. We give thanks unto thee, and we point to them and say, O God, thou art the author of all. Give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And, O Lord, not only that, but in the light of all those blessings, in the light of all those spiritual blessings, nay, in the light of thy sure goodness, and of thy everlasting mercy, we may look upon all things. Good, what we call good, and evil, what we call evil. Health and sickness, suffering, tribulation, everything, life and death. We look upon all these things in the light of that revelation as good things, O Lord, because as our covenant God, thou bestowest all good things upon us, or turns evil unto our profit, and then it is good too. Thanks, O Lord, thanks. Thanks for all thy goodness and grace and mercy. Thanks for the knowledge of the gospel. Thanks for all our experiences. Thanks for all that we may have and that we may receive from thy hand. Thanks, because now we know that all things work together for good to them that love thee, and that all things but tend to the eternal goal, the salvation and the tabernacle of God. Amen.